Hello and welcome to Developing Perspective. Developing Perspective is a podcast discussing news of note in iOS, Apple, and the like. I'm your host, David Smith. I'm the independent iOS and Mac developer. This is episode number 41, and today is Tuesday, May 8th. Developing Perspective is never longer than 15 minutes, so let's get started. All right, for today's kind of topic, something that I've been thinking about, but I think maybe relevant to a lot of other developers, is the role that advertising and promotion can play for your apps. So you can be thinking about it in terms of, you know, are there ways that you can, in a reasonable way, put out money, you know, spend money on marketing, on advertising, on something, and then recoup that and return that to yourself in a way that makes sense. Sense that for every dollar I'm putting into something, I need to at least get it back, if not get back more, hopefully. Otherwise, it's kind of counterproductive. And so I was kind of walk through a couple of different places that you can do this, some of the experiences that I've had, and then just kind of talk more generally about the topic. So first, sort of my own experiences, I've tried some of the platforms that are sort of in-app advertising. So I've tried iAd for Developers, AdMob, I've tried AppCircle with Flurry, and a couple of others. And generally speaking, none of those sort of returned anywhere near sort of the installations and purchases that would be necessary for it to be financially reasonable. Sort of the most important thing, if you're kind of thinking around this or sort of down this road, is to think, you need to have sort of what's the value of a user to you. Now, if you just sell an app, that's pretty straightforward. It's just the value of the app. So if you sell a 99-cent app, it's 70 cents a user. If you have in-app purchase, or if you have subscriptions, or you have other things, you know, it's kind of looking at that and working it out. And so you can kind of say, okay, this, you know, because of the in-app purchases and things, an average user for me is worth 89 cents, or is worth, you know, 5 cents on a free app with advertising, or whatever. And so you can kind of work out, oh, okay, so that's what I'm trying to hit. And this is just sort of the analytical way that I do it. You know, I'm sure other people could sort of approach this in different ways. But whenever I've done those types of advertising platforms, I've tried AdMob, you know, iAd for Developers, all those kinds of things, you end up with sort of a cost per installation that is, for me, I found is typically at least well above a dollar, well above kind of spending $1 to get one user to buy your app, which for me, the economics of that just don't make sense. And, you know, I don't get that much from the user. And so it just kind of, I'm to feel like you're kind of throwing good money after bad if you keep doing that because you're, you know, it's like I'm paying $1.50 to get a dollar back, pay $1.50, get a buck back. That doesn't, you know, this is like you, that can't keep going. Now, if it could, and if I could ever find a network or a platform or something that returned me, you know, it's like I could buy a user for 70 cents. Well, I guess that would make a lot of sense. You know, it's like I can just keep doing that. I mean, in theory, if that was the case, I should be putting almost all of my money in there until I got diminishing returns, because, you know, that's, it's like the interest rate that I'm getting on that investment is fantastic. You know, if I'm getting 30% back on every dollar I spend on advertising, then great. But that's just never been the case. I've tried all manner of things like that, and I've just never found any of them to be high enough that it was worthwhile. So that's kind of the first thing. Like I said, I've just never found that to be worthwhile. I'm sure some people have, but either it's the nature of my apps or the nature of the networks I've tried, or who knows. So then the next kind of place you can try is to advertise on blogs, networks, things like that. And there's a variety of these that you can kind of do. I mean, some of the ones that I was looking at in preparing for today's show were things like you can advertise on During Fireball, you can advertise on a blog like marker.org, you can advertise on The Syndicate, you can advertise on The Deck, you can advertise on 5x5. And obviously these are a very kind of focused, Apple-centric group of blogs. These are places that I read, places that I go. And so I was curious, and so I kind of looked at them to see what kind of the rates would be, and kind of what, if you look at the economics of that, what it looks like. So say for example, During Fireball, probably one of the best followed, you know, sort of most revered blogs in the Apple industry, and you kind of look at that. So right now, you know, you can buy an RSS sponsorship for $7,500, which basically means that your app or whatever you're going to do gets sort of inserted into his feed. I think it's twice in the week, once on the Twitter early in the week, and then in his RSS feed and on the page later in the week, something like that. And so, you know, so that's $7,500. So then you kind of look at it. So if you say you make 70 cents a user, in order for that campaign to break even, you're going to have about, was it 10,700 people or so, or 10,000 people download and install your app as a result of seeing it in that campaign, which works out to be, based on his, he has very vague statistics of about 400,000 readers on his website. So it's like, okay, so about 2% or 2.5% of people who read his blog need to install your app. Now, that's entirely possible, that sort of 2% of people would do it, and I've never advertised them during Fireball, so I couldn't say for sure, but I've, based on the things that I've seen, that's actually a pretty sort of ambitious thing to have 2.5% of people who read something on a blog go and to sort of A, click on the link or go to the store and then actually hit buy. Now, part of that, I think, is, you know, where people are reading. People are reading on their, you know, so if they're reading in places where they're not going to want to buy something, so they're reading on their PC, they don't really want to buy it on iTunes, or they're in a feed reader where they're just, they don't want to sort of leave the feed reader, go off into the app store and then buy something. But I think often, honestly, a lot of it is, I think a lot of people just skip the ads. It's kind of like the problem you have with a TiVo or anything like that, where I think people are just sort of conditioned to not look at ads, and you just kind of get used to that. And so, of the, say, the 400,000 people who subscribe to During Fireball, it wouldn't surprise me if the vast majority of them never even look at the ads. It says a little, you know, and as soon as they see the word sponsor after it, they just skip it. It's just not, in the same way, it's like as soon as a commercial comes on TiVo, they just fast forward. And, you know, I'm sure that's not everybody, but it wouldn't surprise me if that was the case. And you can kind of look through a variety of other places, and they have similar kind of stats where, you know, say right now to advertise on the Syndicate, which is a group of blogs, though I think it may not be going away, but you can kind of look at their numbers, is it was $2,700 to reach 110,000 readers, which is then in that case you'll need to have like 3.5% of them download your app for it to make economic sense. And I doubt you'd ever get there. So I was like, okay, so what's some other places? What about advertising on 5x5? And that's something I've actually done. I did that, I think it was about last spring. I sort of did a full run network sponsorship on 5x5. And I found that I probably made about maybe half of the sponsorship price back. So it wasn't a horrible thing, but it was still, I mean, for me, honestly, it became more of like a tax-deductible donation to 5x5 in many ways, because even with a sort of a well-devoted, interesting audience, you still have to, you know, the thousands and thousands of people who have to download your app in order for it to have made sense for you economically is just very difficult. And I was curious about this, if that has changed. And so last week, the run of the network sponsors on the network were Textastic and Tap Typing, which are two iOS apps. And while I have no idea what their sales data is, you can kind of go and look at their rank data and see how it changed since they did their sponsorships and just see if there seems to be an impact. And it looks like on the side of Tap Typing, there was a slight bump in rankings where previously they had, they weren't sort of properly, they weren't ranked in this, and by that I mean they weren't sort of in the top 100 or barely in the top 200, it looks like. This is based on the data reported by App Annie. Since this last weekend, they've gotten into sort of 140 in their category, 150 in their category, which, you know, is certainly an improvement. And then on the Textastic side, they were sort of consistently, from a grossing perspective, around 30 before the campaign started, and since then they've been right around 20. So they got a bump of about 10 places in their category productivity in the App Store, which is probably, you know, it certainly means they made money on that campaign, assuming that all of that bump was, you know, based on their campaign. But I'd be very surprised if they've actually recouped the $7,000 that the campaign cost in doing that, just based on generally kind of what I see in the App Store and the amount of money that sort of those kind of rankings tend to indicate. So, you know, so advertising lands, you know, obviously advertising in these places is certainly something that makes sense to some people. And you can kind of see that because people, there's certain groups of people who advertise on and on and on. So either they're sort of not unable to do the math, or it just, you know, they're doing different, they're doing it for different reasons. So you'll often see there's kind of these brand and web service companies who are doing it. And I think a lot of that is just sort of awareness. And then sort of on the web service companies, I think moreover for them is once what their goal is they're trying to create you, sort of suck you into a subscription where they'll make money from you for a long time. And so their return is much higher per user than any sort of a typical app would have, where if they can sign you up for a $9 a month subscription, or if they can sign you up, you know, it's like audible.com, which advertises everywhere. You know, they're trying to sign you up for, you know, whatever, $20, $30 a month subscription for audiobooks. You know, they can pay quite a lot to acquire a user because that user's value is much longer to them. But those economics just don't work for an App Store app. So that's kind of just sort of where I am. And it's a tricky problem. I mean, I wish there was a way to, what you want is to put your app in sort of in front of people. You want people to discover it, something that you spend a lot of time and effort working on. You think it's awesome. You want other people to find it. And at the end of the day, sort of you end up with kind of the not really helpful sort of conclusion of really the only way to do it is to execute well on your app and trust that other people are going to talk about it and share it. You know, this is in my recipe book app. The impression we get from a lot of the feedback is most of the people who use the app are using it because someone they know recommended it to them. That they're over at a friend's house, you know, she's cooking, she pulls out her iPad, she's like, oh, what's that? Oh, it's an app I have for organizing my recipes. It's called My Recipe Book. And, you know, and then that's a sale right there. That person has, you know, sort of done advertising for me in a way that I didn't pay for, but is incredibly much more effective than anything you'd ever get sort of in paid advertising. And honestly, in some ways, it's kind of like that, you know, going back to something like Daring Fireball, where you know, that 2% or 2.5% I was talking about may be difficult. If for those blog posts where John says, hey, I found this app and I think it's awesome, you should go get it, you know, in a non-sponsored way, my guess is he gets a much, much higher, even than 2.5% of people going and doing it. It's probably wouldn't surprise me if it's like 5 or 10% because it's a personal recommendation. It doesn't have kind of the weight of just, oh, well, he's just got paid to say it. So that, what does that mean? So anyway, hopefully that's helpful. It's a bit of a sort of a sad note to end on, but I think it's just ultimately it's not a place that you can really promote your app in a sort of an economic way. So you just kind of move on and don't worry about it. Don't sort of waste your money trying all these different things. Instead, just make an awesome app and sort of trust that, you know, sort of the meritocracy will work for you. So that's today's show. I hope you liked it. As always, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, hit me up on Twitter. I'm @_DavidSmith. And otherwise, hope you have a good week, happy coding, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.